to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 196 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. After tonight, there's just four more shows. Well, three, because then it will be episode 200. Cannot wait. Definitely some stuff in the works going down. Let me tell you guys, the next couple weeks are going to be absolutely incredible to build up to the milestone 200 episodes of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Well, let's start things off as I always do. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. The wife and I had a four-day weekend. We took Thursday, Friday off. We went glamping. Yes, glamping with some friends. Headed north on the old I-75, about 2.5 hours north. Set up shop for a few days. Sunshine, barbecue, campfire, drinks. Definitely some well-needed rest and relaxation. Headed back late Saturday afternoon. Had Mr. Jeff Striegel and the guys from MRN on the drive home once the rain moved out of Daytona for the Xfinity race, which, let me tell you, listening to the race on Saturday made me that much more excited for the race on Sunday. The doubleheader with the truck and the cup Sunday afternoon. And I'll get into that, whether the excitement paid off or not, for me anyways. But Sunday made some major progress in the basement all weekend, actually. The new bar is like 95% done. There's no more contractors here. Anything electrical's done. The countertop's in. The only thing I really need to do is get the kegerator hooked up, which is going to be fun, and get some stuff on the wall and just finish up a couple touch-up spots of paint. And I cannot wait for this thing to be done. I will send out some pictures when it is 100% complete. That's for sure. If you missed last week's show with Jeff Striegel, definitely go back and check that out. Jeff was on 2 weeks in a row. We previewed and recapped MIS and talked a whole slew of other NASCAR topics. So most of which are still relevant today. So if you haven't checked out Jeff Striegel's last two appearances on the Lap Traffic Podcast, go check that out. And make sure you go check out 92.9 The Ticket. I think I'm going to be on next Monday, just waiting to confirm with those guys. So I'll be on Monday morning, I think, with Wayne Harvey on 92.9 The Ticket. So check that out. And before I get things going today, I have got to give the biggest of biggest shout outs to Greg at Off Access Paint, who made me an awesome custom lapped Traffic Podcast race helmet. Was so excited when that came in the mail and I opened that box and saw the maize and blue yellow, if you will, of the background of the helmet with the Lap Traffic Podcast logo on there. So awesome. I'll send out another picture of that again as well. But man, just absolutely awesome. Thank you so much, Greg. Can't wait to get you back on the show as well. I've done some different things over the last, 2 months. Greg was on from Off Access Paint, which was different. Had Plan B Sales on, which kind of sets up for tonight's guest. I know a lot of you guys out there are collectors. You know I collect. I got die casts. I got some sheet metal. How do you get sheet metal? It is one of those hard-to-find pieces, but when you do, it's your gem piece for the most part, right? Because it's, man, I've got this piece from this car, from this driver at this race, and you know, you just fill in the blank. And so I've got Eric Lawson from the Racing Warehouse, which is one of the leading spots for sheet metal, coming up here in just a minute. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to learning about sheet metal, what the hot pieces are, what the best way is to go about getting it, all that good stuff. And then, of course, I've got your trucks, Xfinity and Cup, Daytona Road Course recap, social media shout-outs. Brian will be on with the weather for the five races we have this weekend at Dover. Of course, got your lucky dog lap down picks and fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get things rolling. Let's get Eric Lawson from the Racing Warehouse on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's built one of the largest online and on-site shops for all your race-used sheet metal and race-used team apparel needs and equipment from the Racing Warehouse. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Eric Lawson. Eric, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys?
I am awesome, man. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. We were talking here a minute beforehand, just kind of what a crazy year 2020's been with COVID and all that kind of stuff. How's that been for you guys? Did you stay sane? And did you find any new activities that you didn't know you were going to enjoy over these last few months?
I'm trying to keep my sanity. We stayed busy at the warehouse, believe it or not. I guess a lot of people are at home and spending time on their computers, so that's benefited our online business quite a bit. That we do, we sell on eBay and we have a website and list on Facebook. So those people are at home shopping and looking around at our stuff, and I feel like it's really helped us in that sense. But personally, I think my fishing game's got a little bit better. That's about all I've done is stay to myself and go fishing.
That's awesome. I love it. I tell you, that online shopping thing between me and the wife, it felt like Amazon, UPS was at the house every other day, it felt like.
Yeah, for sure.
Eric, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, who your driver is, how much racing you actually take in, because I know you're busy at the warehouse, but give everyone the 411 on you.
Okay, I'll do my best, man. I grew up in Bristol, so obviously I had to be a race fan right out of the gate.
Absolutely.
I love it up there. Still my favorite track. So I grew up. I met Ricky Rudd back in 1984. I skipped school as a 10th grader and went down the track, and I met him there and got an autograph. And so I pulled for him until 2006 when he got out. And I've really been bouncing around from then. I've got several guys I pull for, and Ryan Newman, and then my other buddy Paul Menard got out, so he was one of my favorite drivers. But he checked out on us, and just a bunch of different guys, man. I find myself pulling, since I've been doing this business, for multiple people and not really against anybody anymore like the old days. Just have more people that I like. I get to the track quite a bit. We do both Bristol races, both Martinsville, both Charlotte. We go to Darlington. Pretty heavy on those tracks, and I haven't been out very much further than that. I've made it to Loudon one time, but haven't made it to Dega or anywhere like that yet.
That's cool. No, and you know what? I can totally get behind what you said about, at this point, you kind of root for quite a few. Like, the podcast is a hobby for me. So anybody that takes time to come onto the show, I root for them just because they took time to come out and or either at the track or to call in to be a part of a hobby podcast, which I couldn't be more grateful and thankful for. So I can totally get behind that for sure. Eric, I did some homework on the website and all that, and you said this started out with you wanting to just get a couple pieces for your garage. So what were those first couple pieces? What are some of your prized possessions that there's like no way in hell I'd ever get rid of that?
Well, I do remember the first couple of pieces. I was a school teacher up in Wilkesboro before I got into this madness, and so I got out teaching and got into school fundraising and moved to Mooresville, North Carolina. So once I got there, I found out all about what was out there, the race shops. I never knew about all this stuff. So I ran across a Denny Hamlin door panel. And because Rob was from Virginia, he got out in 06 and Denny came in and he won the Bud Shootout, and I thought, man, I'm going to pull for Denny. And so I bought that door because he was a Virginia guy. I thought that was pretty cool. So that was my first piece. And then I was at a charity auction, my first charity auction, and I went to the restroom. And I came back, and my wife had got all excited and bid on a Todd Bodine Lumber Liquidators bumper and spent a bunch of money on that. So that was my first two pieces. But then she redeemed herself many years later. I ran across a guy that had a sign from the North Wilkesboro Speedway off of the starter stand, hand-painted metal sign. And it's the picture that everybody can see from the last race at Wilkesboro. All the drivers are on the front stretch right in front of the starter stand. And that is the sign that I have in my garage. It is freaking killer. I probably would never sell that.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it is an epic piece, man. And she bought that, and the guy had a wooden sign that's hand painted from the Junior Johnson grandstands out of Wilkesboro Speedway. And so I got Junior to sign it. And those are probably my two favorite pieces.
That's really cool. And each piece, you know, like I've talked with a bunch of people, like I've had Plan B sales on a couple weeks ago, and I talked with them, you know, and I think the one thing, because I think it bears repeating, is every race fan's got those few key pieces. And for me, I collect stuff because everything's got a story behind it. Like why I picked that piece, why I got it, how I got it, whether it's sheet metal, flag, die cast, whatever it is, everything's got a story behind it. And man, that thing's got stories and sounds that all you got to do is just stand in front of those two pieces, I bet, and you can just hear some incredible things in your mind.
For sure. It was, man, it was so exciting to get those. The history, and I'm still a short track guy, so you know, I got to go to Wilkesboro back in the day in the early 90s, and it was a great track. So you know, just to be able to have them, and they're kind of one-off pieces, obviously, so nobody else does, and just great conversation pieces.
That's awesome. All right, Eric, let's talk a little bit about the Racing Warehouse. This is something that started out of you wanting to get a couple pieces for yourself, and it's turned into you helping race fans get that special race use piece for their own collection. You know, what did it kind of start out at, and how has it grown for you as a business?
Well, I bought those first few pieces, and obviously, like everybody else that collects and is in this, you know, industry or whatever you want to call it, just as a race fan and putting stuff in your house, in your man cave, it grew, and I ran across more things and more things. And just by, you know, really by luck, I got put in touch with a guy over at Ralph Fenway, and he agreed to work with me, letting me buy sheet metal from Roush wholesale. So he said, you just got to buy all the noses. Okay. Like, yes, sir. I'll take them all, man. So I was in my garage, and it was a hobby. My wife and I do school fundraising, and that was something for me to do out of the athletic seasons in between football and basketball, or basketball and baseball. I could buy that stuff, and I learned how to list on eBay. And it was just a hobby. I just enjoyed having fun. Met up with a friend that moved to Gastonia, and he helped me out, and we became partners in it for a while. And so it really took off, the two of us together. He enjoyed racing, and I did. And it just became bigger than I ever thought it would be. I never thought we'd spend this much time doing it. He ended up moving back to Ohio, but I've stayed with it, man, and it grew from my garage to one storage building to four storage buildings to a ratty old warehouse, and now we have a pretty nice warehouse right off the interstate in Gastonia, North Carolina. People can come in and look around, and, you know, even for me, sometimes when I've been gone for a week and I come back in there, I look around, I'm like, dang, man, this is pretty cool. Like, there's a lot of really cool pieces hanging up, and it just evolved and just kept growing and growing. And I networked from Roush Fenway to Richard Petty Motorsports, there right next door, Kyle Busch Motorsports. And so we work with a bunch of these teams now, probably 15, 16, 18 teams that I work hand in hand with, getting their sheet metal and uniforms and stuff like that. And it's worked out real well.
That's awesome. And it probably works out for better for them. That way they don't have to waste time, you know, listing individual pieces on their website and shipping. They can just wholesale it all off to you, and then, you know, you can do your thing with it.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there, man. The shipping part of it is, everybody would do it probably if they could, if they didn't have to deal with the shipping.
But yep.
We've a lot of trial and error on our end, and our boys that work here with us, it was my son and his high school buddies, kind of been our packing department, and they've got a personality of their own within our Facebook group, and people love them and shoot them messages all the time. But they did a great job and has really given us a lot of credibility in that shipping department, man, because it's, you know, these are all unique pieces that are wrecked race starters for the most part. So they're just I like throwing a hat in a box and shipping it out post office.
Right? That's awesome. So, and I think one thing people, you know, maybe they do or don't recognize is that, so like, you know, you said you get it wholesale from the teams and you're selling them or however, you know, whether they're through auctions and stuff like that, which we'll get into in a minute. But this is secondary market. So demand drives price. So a bumper off a mid-tier truck team is going to be different off a bumper off a top-tier cup team, right?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
What kind of goes into what sets market price there for something for some of these items?
There's a lot of factors that go into the pricing of it. Obviously, number one, what I have to pay for it.
Sure.
With some of the teams, it is pretty nice that I get to do a consignment deal with a few of the teams, and that's kind of taking the gray area out of trying to look at what they've got to sell in their heap of scrap pile and tell them what I think it's worth and then turn around and sell it online, because I never want the team to think, well, he's going to give me $100 for all this stuff and go flip it for $1,000.
Right.
So it works both ways, and it's been a good relationship for these guys. You know, a typical truck bumper is $100 to $150, depending on who it is. You know, if you get a Kyle Busch bumper, obviously it's going to command more money. But, sure. You know, we worked with Nimco and John Hunter when he was in a truck series pretty tight. And his bumper is usually sold in the $150 to $200 range. And he was always at the shop working on his trucks, man. And he's one of the guys I really pull for. Just because of that, he's turned wrenches. He gets dirty. He doesn't care to work on his stuff, and he knows how to do things. So, and he's a heck of a wheel man. So he's always in a shop. Every time I went to pick up pieces of metal from him, he would take the time of come over and sign everything. Joe would sign everything. So, you know, that makes it even more special for the fans. That
absolutely.
As I'm taking pictures of all that in their garage, you know, or in their shop, the fans can see how transparent that is and real. There's nothing fake about it, and you know, it's a very genuine piece right off the racetrack.
That's so cool. I love that. What's some of the hot sought after pieces today that you get a bunch of requests for?
If I look on my website, there's a feature on there from Shopify that shows what people are searching for the most, and we laugh about it. We always look, man, and it's. You would think it's still Dale Jr. They still want Dale Jr. stuff.
Sure.
But man, Ryan Blaney's hot. He's a hot ticket right now. Anything Blaney that you can get a hold of. Unfortunately, Penske doesn't let out legally. They don't let out their sheet metal except for their door panels. So that's a pretty known fact among people that collect and buy and sell that they don't want their noses, their tails, their quarter panels. They scrap all of that stuff and they sell their doors.
Wow.
It's pretty exclusive deal, man. And they're not the only ones that do that. You know, a lot of other teams don't let out a lot of stuff, especially the front ends and rear ends of the cars.
Sure. Yeah, I get that. People taking pictures and stuff in the garage, you know, there'll be times where the teams will close off the garage or, you know, put up a little barricade and stuff like that because they don't want anyone coming by and seeing what's going on over there. So I totally get that. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I've ran across some crazy stuff doing it, man. when I cut pieces apart and some creative fabricating, I guess is the best way to put it.
But I believe it.
I would say to finish that one, I would say Blaney and Chase Elliott are probably the two, and Kyle Busch. The three of those guys, the hottest ticket in town, man.
I love it. All right, you guys do something pretty unique. For anyone that doesn't follow the Racing Warehouse on Facebook, go do that, because you guys do a auction quite frequently, whether it's it could be a bumper, it could be a pit crew shirt, something like that, and you just let the comments drive, and that's pretty cool. I really like that that concept. Who came up with that idea, and has it been successful for you guys?
Absolutely, and I think the folks that are in our Facebook group have really enjoyed it and taken to it. Sometimes you'll get an item that you really don't know what to ask for it. And we've done it more and more lately. We just let the members dictate it and you know, tell us what it's worth in the market, because you never know. Like, I got the top of a dadgum, I can't even think of what it is, a helium tank. Just a top metal cap for it, and I had a decal on it that was Martin Truex when he was at Michael Waltrip. I wouldn't have any idea what to ask for that. So, you know, we'll start an auction at $10 or $5 and put a closing time of 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 8 o'clock at night. We usually do afternoon auctions and evening auctions, and it could be anything from that cap to Victory Lane hats to crew shirts to door panels and just random stuff. And, you know, that cap sold for like $100. I would have never asked that much for it, but the people, you never know what people want, man, and they'll bid. And it's real auction. And, you know, we've done it a long time, so people have faith in our auctions and that we're running it fair, and we don't have a lot of chaos or anything. It's a good time.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Talk a little bit about, you guys sponsor some teams out there with the Racing Warehouse. What got that idea started? And that's got to be cool just to see something you've built with that logo and your name out there on the racetrack.
Man, it's really thrilling, honestly. Like, it's hard to explain. Yesterday in the truck race at Daytona, we had sponsored Natalie Decker, and we were on the rear bumper of her truck. So, you know, one of the crew guys that we know walked down pit road, took a picture of the back of the truck, and the folks at Nice had posted pictures of the truck and had a picture of Natalie pointing to her bumper. And, you know, it was really awesome to think that this was a hobby that's turned into a business. And there we are racing at Daytona on a truck. And unfortunately, on the last restart, somebody spun her out and destroyed the back of it. she made it all the way up to 16th, and that was pretty cool, man. And so we sponsor people from – we've been on some cup cars with Joey Gase, and we sponsored his car at Bristol, a whole car. So that was real unique, all the way down to our local dirt tracks and the victory lanes of our local dirt tracks. We try to support from four cylinders all the way up to the Cup Series. We try to get our name on cars.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I absolutely love that. Eric, tell everybody where they can follow you at on social media, where they can find you guys, see what you've got available, and all that good stuff.
Well, that's a laundry list, man. I guess starting out, our website is just theracingwarehouse.com. Go check it out. Click on it. We have a bunch of different categories of from miscellaneous items all the way up to the sheet metal and fire suits. If you race, we have some team fire suits you can buy. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Our Instagram name is the_racing_warehouse. Twitter's at TRDB Gastonia. So just get on there and check us out, man. We've been blowing it up over the weekend because we're on Natalie's truck. And hopefully a few more trucks to in the future here this year.
That's awesome. I know I'm checking it out. Everybody that listens to the show knows that I love to collect stuff. So I pop up on there every once in a while and see what you guys got. Eric, this was great. I think we probably just scratched the surface as to how in-depth we could go in terms of sheet metal collecting and all that good stuff. And hope to have you back on soon, man.
Hey, thank you so much for the time.
Absolutely. Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Eric Lawson with the Racing Warehouse for calling in tonight. Eric, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. You guys take it easy.
See ya. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, if you still have any questions on where to go to get the sheet metal, I don't know what to tell you, because Eric and the Racing Warehouse is where it's at. Knowledgeable, loves the sport, tons of info and stock, man. I went and just looked at their stock. Man, you name it, you can just about find it at their website. So go check that out. Can't wait to talk to Eric again soon. All right, I think it's time that we talk a little road course racing from Daytona. All right. We'll start with the trucks, and we're going to start off like this. You know, road course, Daytona, first ever for stock car. Was it the best of racing? No. Did we have exciting racing? Yes. Do I think next year, if they run the road course at Daytona, the fact that each series will now have a race under the belt. Hopefully, the addition of a little practice, will it be able to provide great racing? Abso-frickin-lutely. Now, you might be saying, Brandon, you've said for weeks you like the fact there's no practice. True. Does Martin Truex Jr. need to log laps at Charlotte? No. Could rookies or teams that aren't in the top 16 use a little practice? Sure, I've stated such, but you're going to throw in a brand new course, a road course at that, and none of the series have ran on this. Of course, practice would have been able to provide a little benefit for everyone, and everyone should have an equal chance to get that in a circumstance such as this past weekend. So that said, next year, hopefully things are back to some normalcy. Teams get a little practice, and we get great racing. Again, I don't want to take anything away from what we got. I thought it was really good. It was exciting. Was the quality of racing there? Absolutely not. Not when you've got guys like Harvick and Kyle Busch having the issues that they had on Sunday. There's no reason under normal circumstances those two guys have those type of issues with a little experience under their belt at the track, and I just think things are going to get better. Look at what happened from year one at the Roval to year two. I thought year one was great, and year two got better, and I think the same thing will happen with the Daytona Road Course if they go back. That said, all right, trucks. Let's see here. Trucks Sunday afternoon. Trucks are just incredible on short tracks like Martinsville, road courses, row ovals, whatever you want to call them. And even the 2 miles. I think the trucks struggle a little bit on some of the mile and a halves. I think the trucks put on a great show at places like Las Vegas. Kansas struggles a little bit, in my opinion. But, you know, I think that's across the board there. That said, Sheldon Creed picking up his second career win and second win of the season on the Daytona Road Course. He won a while back at Kentucky. What I want to say about the trucks is where we're at from a points perspective, because I am stunned, absolutely stunned, that with four more races to go for the truck series, Dover, WWT, not WWE, WWT, Darlington, and Richmond, that we got Johnny Sauter 67 points out and Stuart Friesen 87 points out. I promise you, if I had at before Daytona weekend in February had said, all right, I got to pick the top, the 10 guys in the truck series, you're going to make the playoffs, those two would have been in it towards the top of the list, not 67 and 87 points behind the cut line. I'm just absolutely baffled by that. But that's opened the door for Zane Smith, Christian Eckes, you know, Tyler Ankrum, Todd Gilliland, you know, are all up there right now. So I am very excited. The fact that we're going to go to a mile at Dover, a road course, Darlington, and Richmond with the Truck Series to close this thing out. Truck Series is going to be damn exciting here to wrap up the regular season. All right, let's move over to the Xfinity Series. Austin Cindric picks up his fifth win in six races. Oh, by the way, the race he didn't win, Kansas, he finished second. Irony, Brandon Jones, who won that race, finished second this week to Cindric at Daytona. Man, just Austin Cindric, just, man, has been holding down the throttle. That's all I've got to say. I'm going to focus on the playoffs here as well, just because I feel like I haven't ranted in a minute and I need to rant. So I'm going to take a quick sip. Okay, now time for the rant. I only listened to the Xfinity Series race while driving home from camping, so I didn't get to see any of this race. It sounded pretty good, but driving in the rain, all that stuff on the way home like I did, I'll be honest, I don't recall too much. So, that said, this was one of the last few races that if someone was going to make noise in the Xfinity Series, this was the race to do it. We look at the standings. No one has a win that's outside of the top 12. So at the moment, no one's knocking anybody out. Last time someone played spoiler was Jeremy Clements a few years back when he picked up a road course win. He's been that 13th to 15th spot each year since then. He currently sits 13th, 28 points out with six races to go. I look at Daniel Hemric, 17th, who drove for the Cup Series last year. He's back in the Xfinity Series this year. I had a little bit higher expectation for him coming back into the Xfinity Series. He sits 17th in points, 80 points out. Is that doable? Probably not. Can Jeremy Clements make up 28 points? Maybe. I'd say if they were going back to the road courses like the Xfinity Series normally closes out the regular season, it's possible. But the Xfinity Series has a double at Dover. They've got Daytona, Darlington, and a double at Richmond. I don't think anyone, I'll even go anyone outside the top eight right now in standings will win a race. Austin Cindric is dominating. Chase Briscoe, him and Cindric both tied for fifth. Noah Gregson, Ross Chastain, Justin Haley, Harrison Burton, Justin Allgaier. That's maybe the only possible seven that I would say have a chance at winning. I don't see Michael Annette winning a race. Brandon Jones, maybe. Brandon Jones does have the potential to maybe go out there and win a race. Riley Herbst, no. Ryan Sieg, no. Brandon Brown, no. Jeremy Clark, none of these guys are going to win. So that means that the Ryan Siegs, Riley Herbst, Brandon Browns of the world are really going to have to lay to the wayside and finish 36 three times for Jeremy Clements, Myatt Snyder, Alex LeBlay, Josh Williams, Daniel Hemric to have a shot. And I just don't see that happening. Like I said, Jeremy Clements, 28 points, maybe. There is a shot there that maybe he can slide in there. But that said, it's only with Brandon Brown because Ryan Sieg's got 52 points on Brandon Brown. So now we're talking almost 80-plus points between 12th Brandon Brown and 13th Jeremy Clements. And I just don't see that happening with the races we've got left. So that said, I am on my soapbox begging and pleading to NASCAR to cut the Xfinity playoff field down from 8 to or from 12 down to 8 or 10 so that we can actually have a bubble race for the Xfinity Series playoffs. Every year we are in this same spot to where the top 12 are the top 12 way before we even get close to the playoffs. Okay. There, I'm done. I'm sorry, but it needed to be said. It needed to be said. Okay, over to a little bit more positive. Let's talk to Cup Series and Chase Elliott picking up the win. Yes, there you have it. The siren for the Chase Elliott fans out there. Absolutely. 8 career wins and 4 on a road course and picking up the last 3. Road course wins. Can we just acknowledge how badass it is that Chase Elliott is the inaugural winner at the Daytona Road Course? Most popular driver winning some very special races. He has now won at both the Roval and the Daytona Road Course, something no one else has done, something in two races that neither Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, none of them have a win at either of these two, and Chase has a win at both of them. That's special. That's history, and I absolutely love that. Speaking of Kyle Busch, troubles continue for that 18 team. He was one of Jeff Striegel's picks last week as a potential winner this week, but Kyle Busch now sits winless 23 races into the season. His last win coming at last year's season finale at Homestead to win the race and the championship. We all know he's one of the best in the field. I still think he could pop off and win 4 in a row. It's becoming less and less likely, but I now wonder how much of this is mental. Some of the greatest hitters in baseball, I'll make a hometown reference to Miguel Cabrera, Triple Crown winner, has said, sometimes the ball looks like a beach ball coming at you and it just cracks, and other time, the slump is just so hard to get out of. And I think that's where Kyle Busch is right now. All that I think we can say with absolute certainty is that when he comes out of this slump, the wins are going to come, and they're going to come quick and a lot in a short period of time. All right, let's see here. Oh, major props. Jimmy Johnson, 4th place finish. Hell yeah. Chris Buescher, top 5. Clint Bowyer with a 6th place finish. Kaz Grala in his debut in the Cup Series at a race that no one's ever raced at before picks up a 7th place finish. That puts Kaz Grala on the map. And Michael McDowell, 10th place finish. That means some guys had to have some bad days. Kyle Busch, 37th. Harvick, 17th. Keselowski and Kurt Busch, 13th, 14th. I'm going to say is Austin Dillon is very lucky he got that win. Missed this past weekend's race due to the positive test. Hopefully he's doing all right and is back out on the track. But the win keeps him in the playoffs right now as he has fallen to 18th in points. He and Custer right now, the two guys knocking two guys out on points. Right now, that's Johnson and Eric Jones with Tyler Riddick knocking on the door in 17th with just three races to go. The double at Dover this weekend and the crapshoot that will be Daytona. I think the double at Dover is going to be somewhat predictable. I think the racing will be pretty good, but you know, do I see Tyler Riddick going out and winning this weekend at Dover? I do not. But that said, Daytona is going to be crazy, which might give someone the opportunity like Riddick or McDowell, who runs well at plate races. You never know, the potential to go out there and steal the win and maybe knock what would then be three guys out. You know, teams are going to be point racing. If a few guys wreck, you know, Daytona could be a points battle in pack racing with the inevitable big ones, let's call it, coming. So the next two weekends are going to be exciting, and I cannot wait. All right. I did not send out a question to you guys for this week, and I did that for one reason. And that's because I know the last 2 weeks' shows pushed close to the two-hour mark. Jeff and I just kind of ignore time exists when we get to talking, which is great. I think it provides great content, but I know the last 2 weeks went a little long. So I'm hoping to knock it down a little bit for you guys this week. So that's why I skipped that. That said, it is time for a little lap traffic social media. All right, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Lap Traffic PC, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and of course, you can follow on Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, wherever you listen to your favorite show. Subscribe, download, leave a comment, all that good stuff. All right, the giveaway. Lap Traffic Nation, I have been stuck at like 45-50 for weeks. I'll get up to 45-60, then I'll drop back down to 45-47, all that good stuff. So this has been going on way too long. You guys are incredible. You're always retweeting. I apparently need to sweeten the pot to push over this hump to get to 4,500. So alongside of the t-shirt, the hat, the koozies, be on the lookout for a new tweet coming out probably tomorrow to help push over to 4,500. And so I can give something away because I've got something cool to do between 45 and 5. So let's see if we can't make that happen. Shout outs to some new followers. Stefan Ray at Stingray 21, Chase Elliott fan. Congrats on the win this weekend. Fast Lap with Chrissy and Deb at Fast Lap _ podcast, new NASCAR podcast. Welcome to the NASCAR podcast community, ladies. Can't wait to check out your show. Don't forget about the website where there's t-shirts, hoodies, all that good stuff out there. And of course, I've got free stickers and koozies for anybody that wants one. Just go to the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send one to you. All right, let's keep things rolling. Let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf on the line for the weather for this weekend at Dover and the Indy 500. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, you can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR _WXMAN, along with Aaron Studwell, keeping us up to date. There is a lot of racing, so there's a lot of weather to go over this week. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Brian Newdorf. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Man, I'm only aware of one race this weekend. Oh, wait. I'm just teasing to all NASCAR fans, full disclosure. I got into NASCAR via open wheel in the Indianapolis 500. So my first love, my first intro into racing, and of course the family tie that I have, is the Indianapolis 500. Without it, I'm not a racing fan. And my grandfather was Tony Hallman's personal pilot. So with that said, that's why for me, the biggest thing this weekend, I don't care if I see anything else, it is the Indianapolis 500 for me.
I can totally respect and get behind all that. You and I, so couple weeks back, Brian reached out to me and goes, hey, I got an extra ticket for the Indy 500. Do you want to go? And I was like, this was what, maybe June, something like that, maybe. And I was like, I think I really, want to go. Yes. Let me see how things pan out as far as Michigan was going to go and all that kind of stuff. And then the decision was kind of made for us there a little bit.
Well, you said no anyway.
I did say no, but now I don't have to feel as guilty about it.
I literally could not get rid of that final ticket. I had six. And I mean, granted, I know if I had gone on Twitter, I would have found some. But no offense, I'm bringing my family and my kids, and I love all my followers. But I don't know you that well. So at the end, I really didn't want some rando, without vetting somebody first.
I got you. Yes.
I mean, and likewise, you don't know me. You would. I mean, you might think it's cool to have the weatherman. It probably isn't. Okay, I'm pretty freaking lame. So,
I'm sure we would have had a good time. All right. So let me ask you this: who is the? I'll be honest. I turned on the TV this weekend and saw the recap as they were ending qualifying for the 500 for the Daytona Road Course. So who's on the pole? Who's the favorite for this weekend?
I don't know if there's a favorite. I mean, Marco Andretti is on the pole.
Right. And
Andretti,
yes,
in like 33 years. Don't quote me necessarily. I think there's a 3 in the tens column since an Andretti has been on the pole at Indianapolis. What I thought was really cool, I saw this on social media. Some fans gathered on 16th, or at least one of the streets out there outside of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where they could see one of the big. That's some irony there. They did have the big screens on, so fans outside could watch from the street. And you know, people were cheering for Marco being on the polls. Now, it's been interesting. The news out of Indy was for qualifying, and even my pastor said this, who's a big Indy car, at least the 500. Like the Chevys couldn't find speed, but Honda had the speed. But in race setup, the Chevy seemed to handle the traffic and can get through traffic a lot better than the Hondas.
Very interesting. Wow.
So it's very interesting in the sense that I've heard, you know, he's starting back at like 20 through Pagano, but that Team Penske, but on a Chevy, but they're saying, don't be surprised if he works his way up and has a chance to win this race coming because the Chevys have this ability right now they are much better in traffic than the Honda cars are.
All right. Well, I know I will have that on for sure on Sunday. Cannot wait to talk about that next week.
And I'm a sentimental fool. And I will say I'm a sentimental fool. My wife's a big TK fan, Tony Kanaan. This could very well be Elio's last, 500 potentially. It's been told that it's Kanaan's last 500. I mean, again, all of this given the times. So I'd like to see one of those pull it out as well.
Sure, for sure. How is the weather looking for the 500?
Well, I think it's looking a little bit like Dover, but for the fact that it's in August, we're looking at temperatures in the mid 80s, and there's a chance of showers. It sounds like a very end of May forecast. Thankfully, we're not talking about mid 90s and really bad weather. The odds of rain right now are not really high. I'm not going to give it odds of racing at this point. I'll know more middle end of the week, and I'll look for me on social media to have that starting on Wednesday.
Excellent. All right. Before we get to NASCAR weather, let's talk a little bit Big Ten college football that at the moment is not going to be happening. I'm very, very distraught over the situation. I love college football.
I do too.
I know you do. I know Aaron does. Like I know a lot of the listeners do. Like
I'm going to take a very unpopular stance. I support the Big Ten, and I just flat out tell you why. Maybe people don't see this story. Google it. There is a freshman who hasn't played at all, got COVID, was one of a few players on the IU. And this is, again, he's an IU, and that's rivalry. But in this situation, you throw rivalry
out. Oh, absolutely.
This young man, freshman, never played in the Big Ten, got COVID, and now he's dealing with heart problems.
Sure.
Yeah, at 19 years old. Jerry Palm, he's a CBS writer, Purdue alum, but writes for CBS, more college basketball, has his kind of his own version of bracketology. And he points out, you know, looking at stuff, you know, we like to think medicine is black and white, but it's never is. Why do we get second opinions? The hard part in a pandemic of COVID, like where it's the information and the science is in its infancy, is that we don't know what the long-term effects are because we haven't lived the long-term effects.
Absolutely.
Yet.
Sure. I get you 100%.
I get it. People want to play. Now I will say conspiracy theory on my part, and I'm not much of a conspiracy theory, but it's a bit ironic that the two programs or the two conferences that had demands by players are also the two conferences that decided, you know what, we're bailing.
I'm with you there.
And I've seen this when my son went to Purdue last year. And I've seen this a lot because of some of the groups we've been a part of, but there's a lot of helicopter parenting. Let these players speak and do their thing on their own. We don't need parents going to the Big Ten. The downside for the Big Ten is they've not stated clearly why they made this decision. There seems to be a lot of confusion and chaos behind this decision, and that's not helping things much from a sports side of things, from the fans to the parents to even the commentators on ESPN and wherever. You know, the Big Ten has left this big gaping hole on why. All right?
Yep.
And I wish they would just say, look, we've got players in the Big Ten who are dealing with long-term effects, and we don't want that for our student athletes, period.
Yeah. No,
let's be honest, too. You know, these players also want to play, but yet they want to hold the schools liable in case they get COVID. And you can't that's a bad thing. You know, I mean, the Big Ten would rather lose the money that they would get from playing and the TV rights then worry about being sued by a parents or family or whatever if a player or even, God forbid, a star player gets COVID and their career is ruined.
Absolutely. Yeah, so many different, you know,
I mean, I'm
ways you got to look
I
at
it. I hate it. I want college football. I may have to resort to finding a team in the SEC and the ACC. But then look at what North Carolina is going through right now, UNC. I mean, we don't know. And it's like my wife's a teacher. This is every decision around COVID is a lose-lose. Every yes. decision.
Yep.
It's a lose-lose.
Yep. No, you're going to piss half the people off, which I get. And you just don't know the implications and the effects because, like you said, you know, we don't know the effects because it's been not even 12 months. So we don't know the long-term effects and all that. So I'm with you there 100%. All right, let's look to this weekend. We're going to Dover. We've got five races throughout the NASCAR series. We've got one truck race. We've got a doubleheader with the Xfinity and a doubleheader with the Cup Series. So we've got racing Friday to Sunday. How are things looking so far, sir?
There's not overlooking at the weekend, you know, based on information right now, Friday overall looks relatively dry, but there is a chance. Saturday, on the other hand, slightly higher chance with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. And then Sunday, very much like Indy, where you've got temperatures mid 80s and that chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. Again, I don't see at this point, it's too far out. I mean, generally speaking, I want people to know that Aaron and I do not like washouts. We don't like to forecast washouts. We have nothing to gain and garner from this. I mean, I'm not even associated with the Patreon. I make nothing on this. All right. I get nothing out of this. And at the end of the day, you know, we're just going to have to, it's something that we've been seeing this whole season.
Yep.
We're watching. I can say there's not going to be a fire tornado. All right. That much I can tell. There may be cicadas, but I don't see locusts. But I'm just teasing. No, overall, it's a typical race weekend in the summertime in August. We're going to have a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The downside, we didn't get to see any rain racing because in Daytona, that comes with lightning. So,
yep.
And then all the people who wanted to see rain racing really wanted the race to be called because apparently they were biased in their decision.
Well, hey, that'll happen every once in a while. That'll happen.
Pretty much. Yes. No, so we'll keep an eye on the radar. There's a chance of rain at this point, the extensiveness, and I'm going to I'm on vacation this week, so I'm going to be – I'm full disclosure, I probably didn't give the forecast the once-over as I probably should, but I gave it a quick glance. So that's kind of what we're looking at and seeing. But like every race and every weekend, I'm going to mention the chance of rain, maybe higher chances for Dover than the other ones. But mostly, again, I'd rather take – it's a lot – people are a lot friendlier to you when you take rain out of the forecast than if you say it's going to be dry and you have to put it back in.
I can totally sympathize with that there.
And if your weather app says something different, please send that to @laptraffic, and they will be more than happy to file that away for Aaron and I. In fact, if you find a better podcast, also send that to @laptraffic as well.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, sir, I hope you enjoy the Indy 500. I hope you're able to kick back, relax, and enjoy that and wrap up your week off with the 500. I know I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, as always, for calling in.
I hate to say this. If I'm NASCAR, I mean, you got to be thinking of NASCAR.
Why?
No offense. I do think the highest rated racing event this weekend is going to be the 500.
Oh,
I hate to say that to NASCAR Nation.
That's a given.
And the fact that like the Indy 500 starts about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then and an hour later is Dover. Unless I can find picture in a picture, I'm not switching over.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think there'll be quite a few people that are on that bandwagon too, especially depending on how Saturday's Cup race goes. So,
yes, I want more road courses.
Yes, no, well, I'll send that to who I know, and we'll see what happens.
Please send your apps and your screen grabs to @laptraffic.
I love it. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Brian, who you can follow on Twitter @NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Aaron Studwell @RaceWeather. Make sure you're following him all this week for the updates for all of the racing we got going on this weekend. Brian, great to talk with you. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, my man.
All right, sounds good.
All right, we'll see you. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, great to catch up with Brian. It is now time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. You guys know the drill. I am going to get right into it with my Lucky Dogs of the race weekend. It's the Daytona Road Course. It was new. I absolutely love it, along with Chase Elliott. And, of course, camping. Haven't been camping in a minute, so it was great to go camping. Lap Down, Chase Briscoe for none other than really hurt my Lap Traffic fantasy picks. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagners with his Xfinity Lucky Dog, the Super Lucky Dog, Austin Cindric. He has stolen all the luck from all the other drivers. Damn. Lap Down Riley Hurst. Only TV time was when the car was never going straight. Scott's Truck Edition Lucky Dog, Sheldon Creed. Lap Down Electrical Engineers on the teams. And Todd Gilliland lost a lot of points. Scott's Cup Edition Lucky Dog, Jimmy Johnson. Finally, The Rock. No, finally a solid, consistent day. Lap Down Kyle Busch. I'm getting tired of doing this to him, but if it wasn't for bad luck, he'd have no luck. Gina at Gina Loves JJ48 Lucky Dog Kaz Grala. That was a great finish in his Cup debut, and I love the three cars paint scheme. A Lap Down Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick. So many mistakes indeed. CJ at CJ LaPearl 24 Lucky Dog Jimmy Johnson finally has a solid day and gets a top five. Lap Down goes to NBC for cutting coverage before the burnout interviews. Very poor coverage. Yeah, that definitely got some attention on social media, didn't it? Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons Lucky Dog Chase Elliott with a dominant performance. The siren sounds again. Lap Down, need I say it, Kyle Busch, another bad day. Yes. Rachel at Rachel _MCD12's Lucky Dog, holla for Gralla. I like that. That's good. That's really nice. Awesome Cup Series debut under unfortunate and difficult circumstances. Not only a solid finish, but let's not forget he led some laps as well. Lap Down, NBC completely dropped the ball for at least not giving us some sort of live stream post-race. Colin at Colin _with_cars. Lucky Dog goes to the Truck Series as usual. Best race of the weekend. If anyone likes races and misses the trucks, you're missing out. I would echo that 100%. Lap Down has to go to KFNB. He ended up being a hot mess today for a guy that thinks he's God's gift to racing. That's some strong words there, Colin. Oh, I love it. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, lucky dog Kaz Growler with a solid debut on short notice. Lap down. NASCAR's policy of not being able to serve a penalty when pit road is closed before the end of the stage. Jeff at JBev1789 is a lucky dog. Kaz Growler is going to lead the way this week. How can you not love that story? Amazing run. Glad that he got the top 10 to show for it. Lap down. Going to go with some positivity this week. What a great weekend of racing all series. Hashtag playoff push. Let's see here. And last but not least, David at DFlint14's lucky dog. Kaz Growler with his top 10 in a substitute role on a new track during his debut. Lap down. Whoever had the genius idea to schedule start times yesterday and today between noon and 6 p.m. The sport is headquartered in the city for the last 70 years. Do they not know anything about summer in Daytona? I like that there, sir. I like that, David. All right, let's get to some calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Tampa News Net. With the Daytona Road Course race this weekend, I'm going to be very honest with you. I really honestly thought there could have been better with the racing. I was expecting more. I was honestly expecting more from the race, and, you know, a lot more action this past weekend at Daytona with the Cup Series on the road course. And, you know, towards the end, that late race caution actually really made it a better race, I thought, with, especially the battle at the end between Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott. So, at least that's a good thing to look at from the race. But anyway, my lucky dog for this weekend, I got two. First is going to go to Jimmy Johnson. He had an incredible day. Top five finish, I believe, if I'm correct. And it was absolutely incredible to see. This helps his chances potentially of making the playoffs if he can keep up this for the next couple of weeks with the doubleheader at Dover next weekend and, of course, back at Daytona for the regular season finale in 2 weeks. That will help his chances, and I think there could be a shot he could make it in his final season in the NASCAR Cup Series. And Chase Elliott, with his third straight road course win, he absolutely is, I feel, dominant right now at the road courses. And he's definitely going to be one of those to look at, especially once we get back to the Charlotte Roval during the playoffs. And my lap down this week is going to go to Kyle Busch. Again, with what's been going on since the return of NASCAR back in May, it's just, he's been absolutely just, it's been bad what's going on with Kyle Busch. And if I were a Kyle Busch fan right now, I would be starting to get concerned. There could be a possibility if he keeps this up over the next couple of weeks, he could maybe be on the bubble for the playoffs. And I don't want to see that at all, but we'll see. But anyway, enjoy your week as always, Brandon, Laptrap and Nation. And I'll talk to you next weekend after the doubleheader at Dover. So thank you so much, Brandon. Take care. Bye.
Oh, Matt, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. To go on what you said at the start of your call there, the only thing I could attribute that to is I think, and I said it earlier, if there had been some practice, new course, all that, I think that what you thought was missing would have been there for sure. And you mentioned Jimmy Johnson there in terms of, you know, maybe making the playoffs. Is he on the bubble? Could he keep this up? Get his way in there? Man, how crazy would it be if Jimmy Johnson comes out and wins Daytona Super Speedway season finale to ensure that he's in? That would be a nice piece to the story, I think, this year for sure. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, John Warrington at Racing_64. Hey, Daytona Road Course came and gone. It was good. It was an amazing show, but it definitely was not bad show. All four races this weekend were definitely entertaining. I liked the Daytona Road Course for stock cars. Do I think it should take the place of another track or or take place of one of the Daytona Oval races? No. So I guess I don't think we need to race there again unless it's some other circumstance like we had. All that said, like I said, it was a good show. I just don't think it needs to take place of anything else come schedule-wise. Lap down, I'm going to give it to Colleg Racing for all three of their cars basically taking themselves out of the race within 30 seconds of each other with Haley and Chastain having troubles, and then Allmendinger trying to pit and getting caught with the penalty. So that's my lap down. And for the lucky dog, I'm just going to say NASCAR and how they're being so fluid with all their changes and trying things that we've always wanted to try and being able to try anything. It's just been a lot of fun since we've come back racing to see everything with the way now that they've changed lineups. We've got choose cone. We're going different places, all kinds of sorts of things. So that's my lucky dog. So we'll see how Dover goes later.
Hey, John, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Great to hear from you. It's been a minute, and glad you called. And I'll echo what I said with Matt a little bit ago. I think things would have been better with a little practice. And I really think for sure that would have cured some of these issues that we had. And as far as NASCAR goes, yeah, this is one of those chances where you as a sport have the opportunity to make some changes, not catch flack, and see what works. And I'm so glad that they're doing that. All right. Got a couple more for you here on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon and Lap Traffic Nation. This is Uncle Matt. Comment on the racing this weekend. Really exciting, actually, for a road course. They can get strung out sometimes, and it can be boring. But with the cautions, the segments, and all that, turned to be quite entertaining. Lucky Dog, I'm not sure if it goes to Brett Moffitt or Sheldon Creed, but it was the same incident. The last restart of that race, Moffitt very easily could have turned Creed around and taken his first win of the season, but he played nice, so I guess he gets the lucky dog, and Creed gets it too for being the recipient of the niceness there. As far as the lap down goes, you know, I gotta put shame on NASCAR a little bit. Probably the Daytona Speedway as well. The Xfinity race, they had to know something was gonna go wrong with, turn six, the, Michigan pothole that they had there. And probably a little, shade on Justin Haley, who I picked. For being the first one to find that pothole and finishing dead last. Anyway, happy racing this week. Talk to you later.
Oh, everyone's favorite Uncle Matt calling in with some lucky dog laptop picks. Absolutely love it. All right, let's get to the last call on the Wave Around Hotline. It is the voice of the Wave Around Hotline.
What's going on, Live Traffic Nation? Voice of the Wave Around Hotline, the 20% at Racing Chance Victory Edition of the Wave Around Hotline. The siren is blaring. Love to see it, or hear it, I should say. On to the actual race, I thought that was a very respectable, clean race that was run, completely different from what we were expecting to see. At first, I was maybe a little disappointed. I didn't see a little bit more kind of drama, but the more I think of it, I think I'm happier that we saw a really clean, good race than an ish show like I think a lot of us were expecting. Moving forward, I would love to see NASCAR drop one race from the Oval, like the 400-mile race, and put it on the Daytona Roval. It is a Roval. I don't care what anybody says. It is a Roval. I'd like to see that. I don't like restrictor plate racing, whatever we're calling it. I just don't like it to begin with. It wouldn't bother me in the least if we went added another, you know, road course like that. I still want to see more true road courses, whether it be Road Atlanta, Road America, Road Ohio, I don't know. Laguna Seca. You know, I'd like to see a couple more still actual road courses added to the schedule, but that's another conversation. Last down, Kyle Busch. Not only did he suck today, he really sucked for me, getting me a sucky 1 point in the lap traffic fantasy league. So, thank you. I'm probably going to move down a little bit towards the bottom where I'm at, but luckily I got enough of a cushion, but again, neither here nor there, so thanks, Jerk Off, for that. Man, Chase, what a man. The man is excellent on road courses. He's 24 years old, and he is tied for the most active wins on road courses. That's pretty ridiculous. His winning percentage has got to be up there with guys like Stewart and Gordon and Ricky Rudd. Tim Richmond, in terms of road course wins, that's pretty damn impressive company to be in. So, you know, anytime you go to a road course, that old number 9 car is going to come from. So that Chaser, my lucky dog of the week, and I'm really excited for Dover, man. I love that track, and I'm looking forward to a double header there. Talk to you later.
Oh, Mr. Andrew Kantian, thank you so much for calling in. I tell you, you mentioned a clean race at the start of the call, and I think that the guys were like, all right, we saw what Truck and Xfinity did. Let's tone it down, you know, kind of like that first start at the Daytona 500, you know, when it gets single file strung out for 38 cars or whatever it may be there for a little bit. I think they definitely played nice. You know, Uncle Matt mentioned it in his call about Brett Moffitt playing nice with Sheldon Creed there towards the end. And that definitely made the difference a little bit, I would say. And what a crazy stat. Chase Elliott tied for most active road course wins. Absolutely crazy. Congrats to you and, of course, the boys at the PETM podcast on that awesome win by Chase Elliott. All right. That is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and a Lap Down Picks. All right, it is time to close this thing out with a little lap traffic fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by midnight on Thursday. Keep the Twitter interaction going. There is just 3 cup races to go over the span of the next 2 weekends to decide who makes the lap traffic playoffs. 5 races this week. My initial email this week, I only had 4. I forgot about the Xfinity double. I sent out an email as well. Make sure you send in 5 picks this week. That's definitely going to play a role in the standings, I think. I cannot wait to update this thing next week. Race recap. No one had Sheldon Creed. Half the league had Cindric, and a good handful of people had Chase Elliott this week. Week high was 160 points with Brian Hall, Jess Rose, and Chad Robb, all with their picks of Elliott, Cindric, and Moffitt. You're going to hear from Chad Robb here in just a minute. My picks of Crafton, Briscoe, and Crafton got me a whopping 80 points. It's not good when you only score half as many as the week high, and my standings or my place in the standings show that. Top 10, segment 2 with just 2 weeks to go. Brad Carnes in first with 998. Robert Riggs, 987. Eric Rolls, 979. Jess Rose, 979. Kim James in fourth with 966, and Andrew Kantian wrap out the top 5, 954. It's a close battle to see who's going to get some lap traffic hardware at the end of the year. John King, Chad Robb, Joe Hewson, Brian Hall, Aaron Studwell, and Matt Crowd wrap out the top 10 for segment 2. Over to the cumulative standings, it's Jess Rose still in first, Joe Hewson second, Chad Robb third, Andrew Kantian fourth, Kent Dolfay fifth, Richard Craven sixth, Brian Hall seventh, Crystal Smoke in eighth, Matt Crowd in ninth, David James in 10th, Matt Camper in 11th, Eric Rolls in 12th, Brett Morris 13th, Robert Riggs 14th, Aaron Studwell 15th, and Greg Whited in 16th. If you've noticed, you did not hear the professor's name at all. I went from leading for weeks to open segment 2 to 12th place in segment 2 and 21st in the cumulative standings. I said I have to make the playoffs this year. I now need miracles and Hail Marys to happen for that to occur. All right, let's get to the picks this week. Let's get this week's guest picker on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, he was one of this week's top highs with 160 points, along with Brian Hall and Jess Rose with his picks of Elliott, Cindric, and Moffitt. It's been a long time since he's been on the show. It's definitely been a minute. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Fantasy, Chad Robb. What's up, man? How are you?
All right. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, man, I'm doing good. It's good to have you on. It's great to talk to you. I think, like we were talking before we hit record, that it's definitely been a minute since you've been on. So I'm glad to have you back on and all that good stuff. How's things with you, family, all that good?
Everything's good. You know, just watching a lot of NASCAR. They're putting a lot of races on TV for us, so that's good.
We are definitely getting our fill, and we're going to get our fill this week, that's for sure, with five races, which is absolutely incredible. What'd you think of the road course race in this past weekend at Daytona?
I thought it was pretty good. It was a lot better than what I expected. I expected the first couple laps to be pretty ugly, but I guess the guys that started up front got together, talked it out, and said, hey, listen, let's not all crash on the first lap. So
yeah, let's learn
it ended up being pretty good.
Else. Absolutely. That's funny. Well, listen, you've got your own little fantasy, and I don't want to say little, but you have your own subscription-based tip line, if you will. Tell everyone a little bit about that and how people can maybe help or use your help for their daily fantasy and DraftKings and all that good stuff.
Yeah, no problem. It's fantasyracingtips.com. And on the website, we provide picks for just about every fantasy NASCAR game there is. We do Fantasy Live. We do the driver group game, one-and-done games. And then for DFS, we do the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series. So pretty much any fantasy racing game that you play, we got you covered. And if you have any questions, you can go to the forum, ask me questions. I usually answer them pretty quick. I'm usually on there all day. So it's pretty good. We've had a lot of success. Last week, my picks for the Truck Series in the $3 GPP won $1,500. So that worked out pretty good. So, yeah, fantasyracingtips.com. Go there, and pretty much anything you need for fantasy NASCAR, we got you covered.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, you've been doing this a long time. This isn't just something, oh, I'm going to start up this website and been doing it for 2 weeks. How long you been doing this?
Well, I started playing fantasy football in 1986, and I did that for a long, long time. And I was the fantasy football writer for Bleacher Report for a while, and then I switched over to NASCAR. I started playing fantasy NASCAR in 1996 and became the lead fantasy NASCAR writer for Fox Sports in 2014. And then in 2017, I started my own website.
So you've got some street cred is what I hear you saying there.
Yeah, I worked for some big companies. I worked for Bleacher Report, Fox Sports, and I've done some stuff for ESPN and stuff, too.
That's awesome. Well, that's very cool. So everyone go check out the website there and improve in your daily fantasy NASCAR for sure. All right, man, you ready to make some picks?
Yeah, I'm ready to see if I can repeat what I did last week.
Man, I got to do something, man, because I was doing good, and then I've been slipping the last few weeks. So I need this five-race week to hopefully get back up into the standings there. All right, Lap Traffic Fantasy players, we are headed to the double at Dover. We've got five races to pick this week. It's not necessarily who you want to take, but it's who do you have available. With just two race weekends left to decide who makes the Lap Traffic Fantasy playoffs, we've got some trends over the last three races at Dover. Martin Truex Jr. has a win in a top five. Bowman's got two top fives. Kevin Harvick's got two top fives. Chase Elliott has a win in a top five. If you've got any of those guys left, now is the time to use them and make some noise and maybe move up. Does anyone sweep this weekend? Can Austin Cindric pull off a sweep? Can Johnny Sauter get something going in the Truck Series? We will find out this weekend. But first, it is time for our picks. Ali, we'll start with you, man. Who do you have for the Truck Series?
For the Truck Series, I'm going with the guy that should be starting on the pole. I'll go with Brett Moffitt.
Brett Moffitt, excellent. You know, it seems like with the truck in the Xfinity Series, it's either Austin Hill, Brett Moffitt, and then the Xfinity Series, it's Cindric or Briscoe. And I have gotten burned the last couple weeks by making the wrong picks. I'm going to roll the dice with Austin Hill, see if he can't pick up win number two on the season. All right, let's go to the Saturday Xfinity race number one. Who do you got, sir?
Well, you can't go wrong with Austin Cindric. He seems to be winning every race, so I'll stick with him.
I am with you there. Our picks are matching there. Xfinity race number two, sir, who are you going with?
You know, I'm going for the sweep this weekend. I'm going with Austin Cindric for the daily double.
I like it. I contemplated that myself, but I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go with Chase Briscoe for race number two. I think Cindric will get it done on Saturday. Briscoe's going to come out Sunday and even things back up again. Over to the Cup Series race number one. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with the guy that finished first and second in the two races last year. I'll go with Martin Truex Jr.
Nice save on that one there, sir. That's a strong pick there. I am going to go with the 88 of Alex Bowman for Cup race number one. And we'll wrap it out Sunday afternoon, Cup race number two. Who are you going with?
The guy I'm going with is the guy that said he could win this race in his sleep. So I'll go with Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson. That's his last win. Back at Dover 2017. Solid pick there. I am going to go with a guy who is going to be fighting to keep a playoff spot. I am going to go with Eric Jones on Sunday, sir. All right. I think we got some solid picks there. Man, it was great to catch up with you. Everyone, give the website a plug one more time there, sir.
It's fancyracingtips.com.
Excellent. All right, brother. We'll catch you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, I kept it way under 2 hours this week. That is going to do it for episode 196. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. Huge thanks to Eric Lawson from the Racing Warehouse for calling in. Big thanks to Brian Newdorf and Chad Robb. Next week, I am so excited. You have seen his videos on Facebook. You've seen him on YouTube. You've seen him on Instagram. Miles Montplaisir from You Betcha is going to call into the show, and we are going to have some fun next week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!